The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The dominion of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." And Jesus answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of God's dominion. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his dominion all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteousness will shine like the sun in the dominion of their Father." Let anyone with ears listen. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, listen. With all those who have ears, listen. The main message of this parable today is that it's none of your business. None your business. What other people are doing. We are not the judges of what other people are doing. That is really what this is about in the parable today. But I'm not even going to preach about that, by the way. But I did want to make sure that as we heard that parable, we heard those words of Jesus, that we remember it's none of your business, none of our business, because what our business is to love people. And we are to follow in the footsteps of Christ and to accept and love and forgive. And that is what we are doing every day. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So now that you've just heard several readings from Scripture, I'll offer you another one, because there was an alternate Scripture passage for this week that I said to Eloise, "No, I don't think I want to do that." And then I decided yes. And so this is from the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 12, the alternate Scripture for today. "For neither is there any God besides you, whose care is for all people, to whom you should prove that you have not judged unjustly. For your strength is the source of righteousness, and your sovereignty over all causes you to spare all. For you show your strength when people doubt the completeness of your power, and you rebuke any insolence among those who know it. Although you are sovereign in strength, you judge with mildness, and with great forbearance you govern us. For you have power to act whenever you choose. Through such works you have taught your people that the righteous must be kind. And you have filled your children with good hope, because you give repentance for sins. You have taught your people that the righteous must be kind." Now, I offer you this text because I was reminded by social media, which I've been trying not to use, about an incident that happened a few years ago this very week when I was living in Jerusalem. And it was a Saturday morning, and I saw when I woke up that there was this huge thorny weed that was coming out, pushed through a crack in the wall of our apartment building. And it was virtually impossible to walk up the stairs to our third floor unit apartment. And on that day, I first thought, in a pastorly way, of the gospel according to Matthew. And I remembered how Jesus said to the disciples, "What do you want to do with these weeds?" And he said, "Let both of them grow together. And at harvest time, I will take care of it." And then I remembered these words, but as usual, I said to myself, not today, Jesus. This weed is getting whacked today. And then I sent my older son out to do the job in the blistering Jerusalem heat. Maybe, because he was a pastor's kid, he could take comfort in Paul's reading letter to the Romans, which we heard today. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed in us." Probably not. He was probably just mad at me. Now, a few hours later, I opened my front door, and sitting right there on the welcome mat was a pile of sticks and leaves, remnants from that weed my son had whacked. And at first, I thought he was just no good at weed whacking and men needed to go tell him how to finish jobs properly. And then I realized, no, someone has placed this directly in front of my door on purpose. And in fact, I thought that this was the so loved downstairs neighbor who, in a classic passive-aggressive move, had put this pile of sticks and leaves in front of my door as a not-so-subtle message. So I started down the stone steps of our apartment building, stomping heavier with each step. I had almost reached the offending neighbor's door when I remembered those words, that the righteous must be kind. The righteous must be kind, because that was one of the scriptures I had been meditating on all week. The righteous must be kind, I thought to myself, just as the woman who lived below me emerged from her apartment and started wagging her finger in my face and yelling at me in Hebrew, which I barely understood. The righteous must be kind, I thought. And it echoed in my heart as I considered what I could say, but didn't. And again, the righteous must be kind. And so what came out of my mouth, thanks be to God, was, "Yes, ma'am." "I'm sorry that those leaves and sticks were left on your porch. My son will come and take care of it." And I said it with kindness in spite of myself, amen? Now, I was kind to the woman downstairs, not only because it makes a good story for a sermon. I was kind because I remembered in that moment that the living word reminds us again and again that our God has shown us kindness upon kindness. As it is written in the Wisdom of Solomon, God is strong and God judges our sins with mildness. God has great power and God practices forbearance and mercy. As Christians, we know this truth of God's character through the cross of Christ, where our Lord Jesus has shown us great love and great kindness. For as it is written, though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Through Christ, we have received the greatest kindness of all, the total forgiveness of our sins. And for this reason, if no other, it is our duty and our joy to take heed of that wisdom that the righteous must be kind. It's been a rough week in our world, a rough few weeks. I'm using my hand too much, I'm sorry. There's a newly invigorated war in Iran. Several service members have been killed. Multiple shootings of innocent people have happened by ICE. Wildfires are making our skies look like the apocalypse is happening any minute. Conspiracy theories and AI make it harder and harder to understand what's actually happening in our world. And for these reasons and many others, I would not actually want to preach the word that I preach today, because I really don't feel like being kind. And in fact, when I reread that passage from the Wisdom of Solomon, I didn't even process that that word was kind. I read it as nice. And I was reading, through such works God has taught the people that the righteous must be nice. And my instant reaction was, forget nice. I'm tired of nice. I'm tired of oppressors telling oppressed people to be nice or be appropriate. Or I'm tired of precious moments, Jesus. I'm tired of 3D hologram dinner placemat, Jesus, which, by the way, I can tell you exactly where you can buy in the old city of Jerusalem next time you go. I'm tired of any and all religion that tells me to behave, be sweet, stay in line, don't offend anyone, never say anything. A preacher friend of mine recently said, if your Christianity makes you comfortable, you're doing it wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I'm tired of nice Christianity, and I have no use for nice Jesus, but I am interested a little bit in the Jesus who casts out demons and kicks over the tables of the money changers and pays absolutely no attention to giant rocks that seal tombs. Amen? This Jesus would never have left a passive-aggressive pile of leaves at my front door. But he might have said, he might have knocked on the door and said, pick that up. And that's okay. That's the Jesus that I would like to know. So I didn't like it at all when I read in the scriptures, you have taught us that the righteous must be nice. And yet that verse from the Wisdom of Solomon wouldn't leave my head or heart. And for this reason, I looked closer, because I'm a Unilu person, at what that word actually means. And that word that was translated kind is philanthropia. And the word philanthropia, from which we derive our English word philanthropy, has nothing to do with being nice. It means love of humans. Philanthropia, love of humans. So one could translate this verse to say, you have taught your people that the righteous must be lovers of humans. Lovers of humankind. So the righteous are those who love their fellow humans. And this means that the minute we make space in our hearts for hatred of our brother or sister, we are no longer walking in the path of the righteous. The minute we say they deserved it, the minute we say it's for their own good, the minute we say that we justify human rights abuses because of security, the minute we justify the killing of anyone, innocent or guilty, on our side or the other side, whether they were rioting or whether they were living in illegal settlements, if we say that that's okay, we are no longer practicing philanthropia. And therefore, we are no longer righteous. We are certainly no longer following in the footsteps of Jesus. The bishop I worked for and wrote for in Jerusalem, the Reverend Munib Younan, always wanted to quote his favorite Bible verse. To my dismay, every single time. But I get it. He's Palestinian, and he was a refugee, and this meant a lot to him. 1 John 4:20, he always wanted to quote, "Those who say I love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love a God whom they have not seen." And he would also always add, "Unfortunately, in our world today, we have many liars." Love of God and love of our fellow humans go hand in hand. They cannot be separated. Therefore, if we want to love God, we must love our neighbors, all of our neighbors. And we must stand firm against any speech or action which dehumanizes the one who is of different religion, gender, nationality, creed, political party, as hard as that can be. And in the face of what we are facing today, oh my goodness, growing extremism and division in our country and our world, as people of faith, the most important thing we can do is to remain lovers of humans. Remain lovers of humankind. We must stand firm on the side of philanthropia. And we don't have to be nice about it. But we do need to be kind. We need to be kind. And that doesn't sound like much, right? But it's hard. It's hard to be kind some days. But it could make a huge difference even to one person. So today I would say, go ahead and pick up the sticks and leaves. Speak up when necessary, but also check whether your words are sowing righteousness and kindness or simply vindictiveness. Choose along with our brother Jesus to be a lover. Together we can sow seeds. Seeds of kindness, and maybe, just maybe, we will end up with a garden full of sunflowers and love and peace and enough for everyone. And let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.